All right, so I'm here with Brother Akuo, and we are going to talk about today a verse that I stumbled across and I shared with him out of the book of Jeremiah. And what I want to do first is I want to lay some groundwork. Brother, would you look up that verse from Jeremiah chapter 4? Do you remember what verse it was?
22.
Yep. Hold that spot right there. I'm going to have you read it in a minute, okay?
All right.
So yesterday, we were planning this for a while. A famous comedian named Tim Hawkins, so-called Christian, was going to be at a so-called church. It's not a church. It's a goat farm called Radiant Church. And we were wondering if the weather was going to hold. Well, praise God, the weather held for us. Thank you, Father. And we were able to stand out. We did a testing on Tim Hawkins. We did a testing on Radiant Church. We put him up. And we got to witness to some people that came up to us. Some young men came up to us yesterday. And I just want to say for this audio, before we read our verse, it's amazing to me that the street preacher of righteousness has to go to these so-called churches of Christ and tell them that if you bring in fleshly, carnal, foolish comedians, it's not pleasing to God. It's not of God. It goes against God and His scriptures. I'm amazed that churchianity is at the place where they're bringing in comedians that laugh about sin, laugh about drugs, laugh about atheism, laugh about worship. They even do vile, profane things. This guy, brother, I don't know, I didn't put this one on the testing. He wrote a song and sung it. Everybody's laughing. He wrote a song about getting a colonoscopy. And if you know anything about a colonoscopy, they put metal devices up your rear to seek medical information. This guy made a song about it and made everybody laugh. It's vile. It's profane. And so I stumbled across this verse, shared it with Brother Kuo, and we thought we would talk about this verse, foolishness, churchianity, and comedians. We're just going off the cuff. We don't have anything studied on this. So read us that verse, brother, from Jeremiah 4, verse 22.
For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge.
All right. Thank you, brother. So this just hit me. I read this and I sent it to brother and I said, does this sound like churchianity today in America? And it could be all over the world, but we're in America. He says, for my people is foolish. So these are people that are claiming to be today Christians. This would be Christians. I know in the context, this was talking about Israel. So we're just going to kind of compare. We're not saying this verse was written about Christians today, but we're saying there's a lot of comparisons. So my people is foolish. So people claiming to be Christians, they have not known me. Brother, in the time you've been doing street preaching, would you say that it's fair to say that the churchianity places are a lot like Matthew 15, where Jesus said, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me? They'll say they're Christians, but do we see much biblical evidence of it, brother?
No. And there are plenty of false Christs in the world. Jesus said many false Christs will arise and deceive many. And it's interesting that he says they have not known me. And a lot of people claim Christ, and people will stand before the judgment seat and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things for you? Didn't we do all these miraculous things for you and help people and do all of this? And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They have not known the biblical Savior. They have not come to repentance, turning away from their sin, touching not the unclean thing, and having God receive them, being born again by the Spirit of God, Acts 5, given after obedience to the Scriptures. They have not known that Savior.
Yeah, amen. That's a great point about Matthew 7. That could be a whole teaching. One of the keys of being of Jesus is not living and practicing iniquity. He says it right there. I love that. He tells us why he doesn't know them. They practice iniquity. I get it. We all can make a mistake. We all can choose sin here and there. We all can be weak and fall into it, but you don't practice sin. It's like if you owned a company, and this is so basic And people with spiritual understanding can see this in the scriptures. If you owned a company and you were a boss, an employer, and you had a guy that never showed up on time, never tried hard, purposely broke things that he was trying to manufacture, and never did a good job. Hey, brother, how long is that guy going to be employed?
Yeah, not very long. And in fact, the Lord calls us laborers in his harvest. So,
yeah. And then what if you're a boss and you got this guy that, you know what, he works hard and he's almost always on time. Once in a while, he's late. His car broke down. And you know what? A couple of times a week, he's got some defects. But man, the guy's trying hard all the time. His heart is for the job. His heart is to do a good job. Are you going to have grace and mercy for that kind of worker, brother?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so this is the difference when people say, oh, you don't sin. Oh, I absolutely do. I choose it once in a while. I walk into it. I fall into it. I let myself into it. I don't live in it. I repent. I put it away. Sometimes it comes back down the road. I put it away again. But to practice and live in sin, and that is a great example. It says, they have not known me. So to know God by the gospel, the shed blood of Jesus, to repent and come to new life and to walk in holiness and obedience and to endure, to know Jesus Christ is to obey him. Amen, brother?
Amen. Yeah, I mean, if the word is Jesus Christ, John 1, made flesh, Jesus is the word made flesh. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we know that I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord says. If you're not obeying Christ and repenting, Jesus' first ministry words are repent. And that's obeying the Lord. You repent and come out of the world and lose your life. Unless you're doing that, you're not following the biblical Savior.
Nope. Yeah, and this is why churchianity has had to come up with the denominations for centuries now, because they know people don't want to stand for sound doctrine. Paul said there'll come a day when they won't stand for sound doctrine. We're in that day. And they've had to change the gospel to meet people. Rather than people changing to meet the gospel, they've changed the gospel to meet people. And they say, well, we're all sinners. You're all going to sin a lot. When you sin, God sees Jesus, not you. No Bible verses teach that anywhere. Yes, Christ will cover you with his righteousness if you're abiding in him and producing much fruit and striving. So there's a yes and a no to that. He'll cover you where you lack. He won't cover you while you live willfully in sin. This is a true saying that God's word teaches all over. And I think for our topic right here, so my people are foolish. There's that word foolish. We're talking about foolish comedians in the churchianity we just talked about. They have not known me. Brother, it says they are sottish children. Talk about that word, sottish.
Yeah, sottish, you just look at that. That's a King James word. You look at that word, it just means foolish.
Yeah. And so if somebody said to you, well, what does that mean, foolish? What is the Bible talking about? What does it mean, foolish? What would you say?
Well, they are foolish children. So foolish would mean not sober-minded, not in the truth. They are basically walking after their own lusts, their own flesh, and they're not aligning themselves to the Lord and his ways. They're just being foolish and doing whatever they want, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. And yesterday I was witnessing to these two young men that walked out. They walked like a quarter mile out the driveway to this church, from this church, to come talk to me. It was awesome. You can hear the audio under the Radiant Church testing, Radiant Church, Cedar Rapids Exposed. But I was sitting there and describing to these men. They're like, well, this church is biblical. I said, sirs, young men. I said, this church is worldly, has a false gospel. I went over the gospel with them. It has lady pastors. It practices pagan holidays. It puts on Super Bowl parties, carnal, worldly Super Bowl parties. And I said, and evidence against them, we're standing here. They've brought in a comedian to entertain people. And I told them how he jokes about sin, atheists, drugs, body functions, worship. And I said, does that sound like Jesus to you? And the one young man looked at me, and the other guy wouldn't answer. The one young man, he goes, no, that doesn't sound like Christ at all. I mean, it's just foolishness to think that Jesus and Paul and Peter and John the Baptist would go for someone being carnal and fleshly and foolish. So that word sottish, foolish, I wanted to read a couple other verses. I have this under the Tim Hawking testing. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. I was telling Brother Kuo that I'm no better than these people. Sister Amma and I used to make a bunch of jokes. We used to go to comedy shows. We used to laugh like idiots. We used to get drunk and do all this stuff. We're no better. We're different today because of the Spirit and the Word. But I was telling Brother Kuo, I watched as I did this testing. I had to watch this guy's comedy, and it wasn't fun, but I put video clips of him. And what got me was not even so much the guy on the stage doing it. He's claiming to be a Christian. He's a heretic. He's an evangelical Calvinist. He's on stage doing this foolish stuff, singing foolish songs, dancing around, saying foolish things. But you can just hear the people in the audience that are claiming to be Christians, and you hear them laughing and being foolish. It's like so profane. It's so foreign to who God really is. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, and I find it interesting. It says, like, sottish children, and that made me think about the Lord's chastening. And like you were saying, I also was affected listening to that by the audience, just hearing all those people, like, hemming and hawing at this profane stuff. And Hebrews 12, I'll start at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So I want to make this point, where it's sottish children, and these people are claiming to be of God, they're claiming to be born again, claiming to follow after the biblical Savior, yet they're not receiving the chastisement of the Lord, which all are partakers if you're born into the family of God, to get you on that narrow path. And when the biblical street preacher comes out, the preacher of righteousness, to get them on the narrow path, like you say, we do a prophet's job, they mock. And they walk away. They don't want to talk about truth. They have no truth to bring. So when the Lord brings chastisement, they don't endure chastisement. Thus, they're not the children of God. So they are sottish children. They're foolish. They're not obeying the ways of the Lord. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, and it's more, great point. And it's more evidence that they're not born of God's Spirit, because yesterday I was telling those two young men, the Spirit of God brings you soberness, calm, order, peace, and truth. And the one young man was like, yeah, I agree with that. I'm like, well, this place does not exhibit that. I have another verse, Proverbs 14:9. This reminds me of these people yesterday we saw. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You know, these people, Brother Akua said it, that the preacher of righteousness shows up and they won't even give you any time. Yeah, two young men came out and talked to me for 38 minutes so that maybe God moved them. One of them was more of a mocker. The other one, I think, kind of listened. And I, at the end, him and I had a decent rapport and it ended well. But hundreds, maybe a couple thousand people in this church. And they paid $25 a ticket, spent their time to come sit in a building to listen to vile, profane foolishness and mockery about the things of God. Yet we stood on a quarter ready to talk about the truth and the glory and the gospel of Jesus. And other than, it was awesome, we handed out gospel cards to like a whole bunch of worldly people walking by that weren't with the church, and they listened. You heard the one young guy, man, this is awesome. I ain't heard the biblical gospel in a long time. He was all excited about it. But other than those two young men that came out, one of them was a mocker, the other one was a listener, nobody else came out to talk to us, brother. And let me see, I checked my email this morning. I didn't get a bunch of emails from people saying, oh, we want to talk to you about the truth. We were too busy going to the comedy show, but we want to talk to you about the truth. And their fruit is shown by how they live their life, is it not?
Oh, yeah, children of God. I mean, we're called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, and love the brothers and sisters. Also love our enemies, because God is love. and we don't receive a whole lot of love. You didn't when you stood outside of there from the people in their church. Biblical love is telling people the truth, getting them on the narrow path, helping them where they need help with. And instead of them coming out and telling you the truth and saying, you know, I think you missed this part of scripture where we're actually allowed to do this, or here's where you're wrong, or here's where you could be helped, or let's talk about the truth, let's get right on the narrow path, because we're all striving to enter in. You just received, hey, do you need any water?
Yeah.
And turning from the truth.
Yeah. So, and yeah, and if you come on our property and talk truth, we will throw you off.
Yeah, not quite the love of the children of God.
No.
Foolish children.
Yeah, and so they bring comedians in, and again, we're just going after the comedian because that was just yesterday, but we see the foolishness. Ready? You've seen this, brother. Pastors always love to put comedy in their sermons, don't they? Because, you know, you hook people with comedy. Oh, you get good rapport with people. Oh, make them laugh and they'll come back. It's all this fleshly feeding of people. And they're literally now, it's not good enough to just put comedy in your sermon. You got to bring whole comedians in. And I wanted to read Titus 2. I told these young men that. Titus 2, verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith and charity and patience. And that the young women, the aged women, becoming as holiness, not false accusers, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. And then it goes on, verse 6, and the young men likewise exhort them to be sober. And it's like God's word tells us to be sober and serious and holy and upright and grave and serious and honorable about the things of God, yet they do the exact opposite, not only bringing comedians in, but what is it, you know, people say, oh, you're going after comedians. How often do they do that? Ready? Do people not fill their lives up with, like, Netflix movies full of comedies, brother? Do people love TV shows? The greatest TV show hits are always, generally, comedies. Makes people laugh. Make me laugh. Make me forget about my trouble. Make me forget about all these things I don't have that I lust for and that I'm covetous for. Make me laugh, comedian. And you know what it reminds me of? It just hit me. The kings, jesters, the kings used to bring in paid orators. So let's say a king was in a sober-minded, he'd say, bring me in a philosopher. And a philosopher would come in and stand and orate, however word you want to use it, and give him a bunch of philosophy and it would like soothe the king. And there's other day the kings would say, bring me the jesters. And he wanted to laugh and be entertained. And they would bring in the clowns and the court jesters. And these guys were trained to be clowns. Isn't that exactly what churchianity is doing, brother?
Oh, yeah. It's all just a paid show. And sober-mindedness is so important because not only does it show the gravity of the situation that we're in, because it is a very grievous thing. I mean, the Lord, in the prophecies of the Lord, it says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus was not the chosen miniseries Jesus of, ha ha ha, let's joke around and arm wrestle and do all this foolish stuff. Nope. Jesus was sober-minded.
Yeah.
The Lord was sober-minded because he saw the state that the world was in. He knew what he was there to do, the will of the Lord. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And it's modeled by not only the Lord, but disciples, the apostles, everyone. You're sober-minded because the days are evil. And in order to help our neighbor, we can't participate in the things of the flesh. We can't participate in the things of the world. We have to be separate from all of that and just be realistic and be peace, have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, which isn't the jumping around, ha ha ha, laughing, jumping, and all that foolishness. It's inner calm and peace and joy, inner cheer.
Yeah.
Of being in the Lord, being out of sin, being out of the world. That's the kind of joy and peace we're supposed to have, not the foolishness.
Yeah, amen. How are we going to be salt and light different and separate from the world. Holy means to be separate if we're like the world. And really what it does come down to, again, churches are fleshly and carnal in how they dress, how they act, their false doctrine, their false gospel, their worldliness, and that's a big differentiation. I like to preach to people, any gospel that doesn't call you out of the world is not the true gospel, because Jesus said, my sheep aren't of the world, John 17. So, and Romans 12 says, don't conform to the world. Peter said, be holy in all your conduct. If you're still of the world, you have a false Jesus and a false gospel. End of story. And so how can we be different and affect the people around us? Well, they got to see that we're different, and they got to, the Holy Spirit that does a work in us, convicts, teaches, and comforts. He's got to do a work in them. I can't do this work in them. I'm just a mouthpiece, just a tool. He's got to do that work in them, and they have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in them. So where they then long and desire, ready? The character traits of God. This is so important. The character traits of God. Hey, we're having a conference. We're going to have MMA fighters beat each other up, and it's going to draw a bunch of men. And you ask them, is that the character and nature of Jesus? I never met one person yet, as deranged as they are, brother. I never met one person yet go, well, yeah, I think Jesus. They usually go, well, no, but we're using it to draw people to Jesus. So we're using sin and flesh and carnality and vile comedians to draw people to a holy, sober Savior. Does that make any sense, brother?
No, whatever man esteems, God abhors. So we lift up as fleshly men and women, and those of the world that aren't born of the Spirit of God, they lift up the flesh as like these traits of that are totally against God, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God and it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they lift up these things that the Lord abhors. And then the foolish church systems, they go for those things that are lifted up by the world, by the carnal mind.
Yeah.
And they use those carnal things to try to draw people into Christ, which doesn't make any sense because they're already at enmity with God, These carnal things.
Amen.
So then they're using these things that are at enmity with God to try to draw people to God. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, you go a long distance to make a proselyte, to make a convert, and you make them twice the devil you are. And that's what these guys are doing. Yesterday, that young guy said to me, how are you making disciples doing this? And I said, we're not even at the disciple-making point here. You got to hear the gospel. You got to respond to it by repentance. God has to add you to his body. And then you got to cry out to want to follow him. Then we can help you become a disciple. You guys aren't even at that point yet. You don't just start making disciples. God has to prick your conscience by the Holy Spirit. You got to answer. And you've got to be a born-again child of God to then enter in. And this is a big trend. I'm doing an exposing on a guy. We're going to be going to his conference in fall to stand out and expose him. This is we see this big now. This is coming on big. In order to grow churches, the church is always molding to people so they can grow and keep growing. It used to be, well, you preach the gospel, somebody says, I want to be a Christ follower, then you disciple him and he enters the body. The big move now, brother, stop pressuring people to become Christians. Welcome them in. Disciple them as they are. Show them who Jesus is. And over time, they become Christians. I almost fainted, not literally, but just to say that, to make a overstated point. We saw this church the other day that said, or it was maybe a month ago, it said, even if you're not a Christian, you belong here. Oh, here it is. Ready, brother? You don't have to believe to belong. I got to do a teaching on this. You don't have to believe to belong. You don't need to believe in Jesus. You show up here. You can sing with us. You don't have to pray if you don't want. You can pray if you want. We got coffee and donuts. We got all kinds of programs. And then see, over time, then they get to see how nice we are, and they'll become a believer. That's the big move now. Literally, they keep lowering the bar of churchianity. It's so low now, you don't even have to believe in God, and you can become part of them, brother.
Yeah, these are those things that Paul said, it's a shame for me to have to expose these things because it's just so outright against the Word of God and twisting the Word of God. It's just kind of like so shameful that we even have to bring these things up.
Yeah, what Peter said, they wrest the scriptures, right? And they twist them. They're spiritual perverts. They pervert the Word of God. I've been using that term a lot, and it's strong. People hear it, and they go, man, that hurts me. And I said, it should hurt you. The Word of God is a Hebrews 4:12 sword. It should cut you. You're following a spiritual pervert. Your pastor is perverting the Word of God. And they're like, the young guy yesterday, I loved that. I shared that with you, brother. I said, what'd you come out here for? He goes, I've never seen anything like this. I said, what do you mean? He goes, people with signs preaching outside a Christian place. He goes, I've never seen it anywhere, but let alone outside a Christian place. He goes, I had to come out and see what this was all about. And like you said, we don't see preachers. We don't see biblical preaching is lifting up your voice in the streets or out in the world and telling the truth. You don't see that because everybody's been silenced by the culture, by PC correct ways, by fear. And guess what? As I tell people, if you want to shut me up, you better kill me, because I'm not shutting up till you kill me or incapacitate me. And that's what it comes down to. We've got to preach the truth for the glory of God. I don't care if anybody hears it and listens. It's for God's glory. But it does make a difference. And it does. It's a finger in Satan's eye out in his culture. It does stir it up, doesn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah, it does. People see the boldness and they see the light, the truth that they can't refute you in the Word of God. And they see that, well, like that one young black man that walked by, he was so excited to see people standing for the truth. He's like, it's been so long since I've seen people of faith, like real people of faith, like standing for the truth. So people see the witness, and that's exactly what you don't see in the world today. Is there are so few laborers left that are willing to go out there and shine their light, share the truth. Yeah, it's Amen. One of those things. Will there be any faith left when the Son of Man returns?
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes, so I'd encourage you, if you're listening to this, go to don'tperish.com, look on the false teachers page, look up Tim Hawkins Exposed, look up Radiant Church, Cedar Rapids Exposed, and go see how we biblically, surgically expose these false ways, deceiving people, broke my heart, bringing children to sit and watch that they think that this is of God, that Jesus would allow comedians to come in to talk about vile, sinful things and laugh and joke about them. And so we want to be salt, we want to be light, we want to tell the truth, and that's why we do it. So those that are seeking truth, the Father's good. You ask for a loaf of bread, he will not give you a snake. And we just are thankful that we get to be part of it. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen. I mean, I was a chief of sinners in my old life, just like Paul said, by the grace of God. Today I am what I am. The Lord has given me his Holy Spirit. It's all his glory, because without his Spirit, I could do nothing. So.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well said. And we'll leave it right there. This will be up in the Ecclesia area. And again, check out those testings, and they will bless you. Stay away from those so-called Christian comedians. There's another famous one I'm going to be exposing. And these people make a mockery of the things of God. They trample the blood of our Savior. And it does make me righteously angry, enough so that I want to speak against it and call my neighbors to repentance, to come out of those goat farms that put them on, and to walk in the gospel and in spirit and in truth. Thanks for going through this with me, brother. God be praised.